lesson.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 64, stanzas 2 and 3. Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou, my Savior, art alone. All the day I wait for thee. And what follows in stanzas 2 and 3 of 64. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning with verse 14. Acts 2, verses 14 to the end. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, beginning with verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, and that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, and that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and thou who hast at one time added unto that church daily such as should be saved, such as thou hadst decreed in that great eternity to be saved by thee, such as thou hadst elected, thyself chosen, from that never begun eternity to be thy own church. They were added in those days, in that day, 3,000 persons that thou hast given an indication what thou wast going now to do in that New Testament time, when thou wouldst bring together thy church, when thou wouldst sow that seed, that word of thee, by thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world, when thou wouldst send them forth to both Jew and Gentile, when so many things in thy church did change, so that there were so many questions also in that church in that time, that there were those who did not understand what thou wast doing, so that thy servants also must explain, that thou wouldst now bring that word to those who had never heard it before, and that the Old Testament sacrifices were now done away, all being fulfilled in thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that thou, by that same Spirit, may come in the days in which we are living. For thou knowest each and every one of us and what we stand in need of when we are within thy church. And thou sayest, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, then we can only beseech thee, O Lord, that thou mayest do it by thy power, and that thou mayest come with thy strength, that that Spirit of thee may come, may be sent by thee, by the Father and the Son, to those whom thou hast elected, to those who are predestined, who are walking even in this day in the way of nature as we have been born, and who need yet to be converted, to be born again, to be given that new life. Oh, that thou mayest send that Spirit also in the midst of us as a congregation, in thy house and in our homes, even in this very hour. For thou art not bound to time or to place. For thy Spirit that did move upon the face of the waters, over the chaos in the creation, thou who by that Spirit did bring forth everything in this world, and by one word of thy mouth, O thou that by that Spirit did conceive thy dear and only begotten Son in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that thou didst fill him with that same Spirit and without measure, even in the day of his baptism, when thou hast spoken from heaven, and this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, then it was evident in all that he did speak in this world. And then he did speak as one that had power and not as the Pharisees and the scribes. And so that word that has also been inspired by that same Spirit of thee, O Lord, and written down that it may come even unto us and unto our dear children. And it is that same Spirit by which thou didst bring that word by thy prophets of old, by a Moses of old, and that thou dost bring it by the apostles of old, and by thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, that thou wouldst do, even in this day, with might and with power, as we are not able to do, that thou mayest go forth amongst Jew and Gentile, and wherever that elect are, and that thou mayest bring in that church that shall be without number, that 144,000, that shall magnify thee for all thy doings, for a wretched and a corrupt and an unworthy and undone sinner. O Lord, come thou then with that same power, and that power and that cannot, that spirit that cannot be received by this world, for this world knoweth thee not, and the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned, and they are discerned by those who may receive of that Spirit in the day of their new birth, the wind blowing where it listeth. O Lord, could it please thee to blow also upon this garden, that the spices might flow out, that men may be born again by the power of that Spirit, that they might come to a new life, that the eyes may go open to see that we have sinned against thee, that we are miserable and fallen and wretched creatures, that we cannot deliver ourselves from that pit which we have brought ourselves into in our deep fall in Adam, and that that same Spirit of holiness may enter our hearts for the first time and by renewal, to bring us time and again back unto thy holy law and testimonies. For thy children also are those that have left thee days without number, and they so stand in need that thou wouldst come again in their life, that thou wouldst blow the embers once again into a flame, which they fear do not even exist anymore. O Lord, that thou may show them that it was thy work from the beginning, and that thou art the beginning but also the ending, and that thou art the Alpha but that thou art also the Omega, and that there may be a little honey on the end of this rod wherewith thou dost discipline us as a church, as nations of this world. Oh, that there may be tasted yet a little sweetness in the midst of all the tribulations, that thy Spirit may descend, and that it may give us a place of true humility before thee and before one another, and that thou mayest dwell amongst us. Oh, that thou mayest come, Lord. It is only of thee to work, and it is so undeserved from our own side. Oh, that thou wouldst take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy. Remember all those that are in their homes in this time. Lord, wilt thou help to listen when we cannot be seen? The children in a special way, wilt thou give them attention which alone can come from thee? And both in a natural way, but also in a truly spiritual way, and that thou mayest give instruction unto thy Zion and unto each and every one of us upon our short journey between the cradle and the grave. Wilt thou feed thy people, that the meek might eat and be satisfied, that we may dwell together in that blessed unity and in that brotherly love round about thy truth, that calls out the blessings that come from heaven. O Lord, that thou mayest remember all that are sick and afflicted in this world, for thou knowest also the places where they are, those that are in the hospitals, those that are in intensive care, for whatever purpose and need wilt thou supply. And wilt thou give healing, if it could please thee? Instruct thou us in the shortness of our life and the seriousness of our life, that we have a soul that is going to a great and never-ending eternity, and that all the distractions that are within this world and within the church, and that they may be for a moment put away, and that thy Spirit may bring us in the right place before thee, and that thou mayest supply out of thy fullness. Remember thy servant, whose mother did pass away in the week gone by, and who hopes to travel to Ontario for that funeral in this week. Wilt thou watch over him and protect him and bring him back again, and grant comfort as thou alone art able, and be with all those that mourn in this world. And wilt thou supply for all the needy ones, for the handicapped ones, those that suffer from addictions, those that have difficulties in marriages and in families. Lord, thou knowest all the consequences of our own sin, the misery that it has brought upon us, every trouble and every affliction, and that is all our own fault. And then we can only point the fingers at ourselves, and we must come in the dust of self-abasement before thee to acknowledge and that it is that thou art right and just in all that thou doest. And yet, oh, thou hearest the needy when they cry, and thou savest their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, thou art good unto a wretched and an evil creature. Oh, that thou mayest give us to feel it yet, also in this afternoon hour, and be on our right and on our left in the bringing of thy word. Make it an easy and a loving task under all the circumstances. And wilt thou thyself go from house to house, from pew to pew, and do for us what we cannot do and what we do not deserve. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1 through 4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 4 of Psalter 102. Thank you. Beloved congregation, on Pentecost, we have heard this morning the Spirit of the Lord was poured out upon His church. That Spirit has always dwelt within His church, that is, even from the very beginning. It is the same Spirit by which this world was created. It is the same Spirit by which Christ Himself came forth in His human nature. It is that same Spirit which has worked in the life and the heart of God's people, even from the beginning of this world. But that Spirit that has not been within that church in the same measure as always. After the church was bought, that church also had to be gathered in. It was the work of the Son to purchase that church of God, that they might have a right to that salvation of His. It is the work of the Spirit to gather that church. And it is in the New Testament time that the greatest part of that church of God is going to be gathered. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, look on the fields, for they are white and they are ready to harvest. That was both Jew and Gentile. How necessary that we also are among those that will be gathered, that will be harvested into that church. Is that so also of us? And that we are now made part of that church of God? We'll say, how may we know this? That is a good question. We may know this by the evidences. The evidences of the work of that Spirit of Christ in our life, in our heart, and that we wish to consider in this afternoon by way of our text, which you can find in the portion read to you, Acts 2, and thereof the verses 37 through 41. Acts 2, verses 37 through 41, where we find the Spirit's saving operations on the day of Pentecost, which we hope to consider in three thoughts. First, the Spirit's powerful convincing of sin that we find in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Spirit's powerful convincing of sin. Second, the Spirit's merciful instruction in righteousness. Verses 38 through 40. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The Spirit's merciful instruction in righteousness. And last, the Spirit's effectual drawing unto Christ. We find it in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, the Spirit's effectual drawing unto Christ. Thus, the Spirit's saving operations on the day of Pentecost. First, the Spirit's powerful convincing of sin. Second, the Spirit's merciful instruction in righteousness. And last, the Spirit's effectual drawing unto Christ. The Lord Jesus' congregation said unto his disciples, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For he said, if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, then he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." What does that mean? To reprove. To reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The word reprove, that means to admonish. He will convict that world. He will bring their sin to light. He will expose it. He will bring it out into the open to correct it. He will show them their fault. If there is still a little bit of shame, and there is not so much shame in our world anymore, but if there is still a little bit of shame, then we hide and we cover our sin. What is the first work of the Spirit of the Lord? That is to uncover that sin. Thus has the Lord ever done this in our life? Has the Lord ever come in our own heart to uncover that sin that we try to cover, that we try to reason away with our mind? What is the first thing the Lord did when he came to Adam? Then he first rooted him out of his hiding place. He first exposed him. He first brought his sin to light. And that is now the first thing that we read also here. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What is that, to be pricked? That is to be pierced. That is to be given a sudden, a sharp pain. That is when our heart that is very vehemently agitated, it is speaking especially about the affections and sorrow. Were you ever pricked in your conscience? Did you ever feel the guilt or the pain of guilt? Was your mind ever agitated that you could, young people, perhaps not even sleep in the night? Because that mind that is going on, and you feel that inward remorse. That is now what is experienced by every single person that is in this world to some measure. But here it speaks not about the pricking of the conscience, but it speaks about the pricking of the heart. So what is the difference? The heart that is the center of our circulatory system, and it represents the center of our life. The center of our physical life, the center also of that spiritual life, the heart. The heart being the very seat of our intellect, our reasoning, but also of our affections and of our will, of our choices. Thus, the pricking of the heart that is causing a very sharp pain in our heart, in our soul. in our inner being. And if you will prick that heart is going to bleed. And so that heart does. When that heart is pricked, then the heart begins to bleed. It begins to weep. Do we know what that is? Now, for our heart to bleed, for our heart to weep because of sorrow of heart, because our affections, they are brought into turmoil within our heart. We cannot be saved if our heart is never pricked. Because the Bible, the Lord Jesus says, the whole need not a physician. He is the balm of Gilead. That balm of Gilead that has never been applied to a heart that was not bleeding. It was never applied in all the history of this whole world by that Spirit of the Lord to a heart that was not pricked, that was not wounded. We read about the ointment of mollification in the Word of God, and that ointment of mollification is an ointment that is specifically for hearts that have been wounded. Thus, it is so necessary. But how did these hearts get pricked? What do we read? We read, now when they heard this. What did they hear? Children. What did they hear that has pricked their hearts? Well, Peter is speaking. They heard something. They heard words. Boys and girls, you go to school. You also hear many words. Not all of those words are good. That you may hear on the bus, that you may hear perhaps from your friends. Maybe you have been taught to ignore some of those words. With that saying of the world, sticks and stones, they may break my bones, but names, they will never hurt me. That is true. Physically, a name cannot hurt you. But is it actually true? Is it actually true that words cannot hurt you? You say, no, that is not true. Because words can be very, very hurtful. And we speak to one another. Or any of the words that you have spoken to other children or young people, the words that you speak, are they words that have hurt someone else? Oh, let us be careful with the words of our mouth, because they can hurt. Do you remember the revelation of John, which we have spoken about? And then we have heard that the Son of Man, he was walking in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. That was Christ. He was walking amongst his church. And then we heard that he had those seven stars. They are in his right hand. And out of his mouth came what? Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. What was that sword? Well, what comes out of our mouth? Words. And what comes out of his mouth? Words. And thus, that sharp two-edged sword, that is the Word of God. That is a word that is spoken by his servants. They are in his right hand. They are under his control. But it is not their word. when it is right, but it is His own word. His own word that is powerful, as sharp as a two-edged sword. To do what? To prick, to wound the heart. Do we say we want to be converted? Do we say we desire that portion that belongeth to God's people? How can that be obtained? Well, it is obtained through the pricking of the heart. And how does a man receive the pricking of his heart? It is not, young people, by reading novels. It is not by reading, watching all the videos that you can watch or the movies in this world. No, it is by the Holy Word of God that is as a sharp two-edged sword. Then we say, if you will be converted, then read the Word of God. And listen especially to that Word of God when it is preached. Because it is by those seven stars in His right hand and that sword of that Spirit, that Word of God, is being applied in the life of His people, that the hearts may be pricked. But what was that word that Peter spoke that pricked the heart? That word was actually an accusation that he spoke unto this multitude, unto that Jewish people. He said to them, "You have sinned." What was that sin? Well, they had murdered the Son of God. They had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They had rejected the King of Israel. That is a sin that belonged unto that nation. And that is a sin that also belongs unto that outward church, even to this day. It is not a sin which belongs to the heathen world. It is not a sin which belongs to those who have never heard the Word of God. It is a sin which belongs to the visible church of God. That is, to that privileged people. A person who has known the way his whole life, from his youth until now, but has had no desire to walk in that way in his heart. Thus it is a sin by a man who refuses to acknowledge his guilt. It is a sin by a man who refuses to acknowledge that he has transgressed the law. His sinnership. It is a sin by a man who will uphold himself in his own righteousness. It is a sin which rejects mercy. A sin which rejects grace. A sin which perceives no need for grace. No need for mercy. Because it does not see, it does not perceive, it does not believe its own wretched and miserable condition. It does not acknowledge that he is lost, that he is undone, that he is a fallen creature, a son, a daughter of Adam. It was a sin of Naaman the leper, who would not go down, even though that Jordan was laid before him. In such a simple way, in such a humble way, but now that proud man, he could not be brought low. No, he said, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? That is the sin of the rejection of this blood. And the washing, that simple washing, through that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the Lord said to Job? He said, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. And then I will confess that thine own right hand can save thee. Then I will confess that you can save yourself if you can humble a proud man. That was the word of the Lord. He says, that is not your work. That is not the work of a man. That is now my work. That is the work of the Almighty, to bring a man low, to humble his sinful pride. Only God can do that. Do you ever feel that in your own heart, in your own life, that you say only God can break this hard, this stony, this proud heart? But what do we read here? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Thus we say, only the Lord can do that. And yet, that is what happened here. That is what this word of Peter accomplished. No, not the word of Peter. It was the word of the Lord. That two-edged sword, that accusation that came out of the mouth of Peter, but came with the power of the Lord out of the mouth of the Son of Man. That is now the almighty work, the power of that Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. That is now the work that brought those proud men to their knees, that pained them at their heart, and that made them cry, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? They did not know what to do. Is that so in your life? Did there ever come a time in your life that you did not know what to do? Did there ever come a time in your life that you did not know where to go? That everywhere you went in this world, when you got up in the morning and you brought it back with you in the evening to your bed, the guilt, the pollution, the corruption, the sinful existence, so that you finally had said, Lord, I do not know what to do. I do not know where to go. My transgressions, I confess, grief and guilt, my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy face and provoked thee to thy face. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, is there anything? Is there anything that can yet be done? Is there still a way that we may escape this punishment and again be received into favor? Indeed, a powerful work to convince a man, no, not just to convict him, because convicting, that is hard. And that is taking place in the conscience of a man. And that is sometimes driving a man even to suicide. Oh, what a conviction there was in the conscience of Judas, so that he went out and hanged himself. But he was never convinced. Oh, that convincing. There is something so precious in that convincing that is missing in that hard conviction. There is something drawing in this. There is a love in this that is missing in that hard conviction. Oh, that powerful work that changes a man, that renews the heart, and that does not drive him to suicide, no. That does not drive him to despair, no. But it draws him to cry for mercy. Do we know what this is in our life? We see in our second thought the Spirit's merciful instruction in righteousness. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The Spirit's merciful instruction in righteousness. What does he say? He says, repent. What does that mean? That means to turn. To turn away from your sin that is in the first place in your heart. That you would harbor an abhorrence of that sin in your heart. And that you would then amend your ways and amend your doings. Oh, the preaching of repentance. What a consolation that preaching was to a multitude such as this multitude. Why? Because it is a multitude that on their own side would despair. To say, is there yet a way? But when they hear that first word, repent, then there is hope. Or we see Nineveh, that they receive hope in their heart when Jonah is preaching a message of destruction. Where did that hope come from? Well, that is implied. There is an implication because Jonah is there and because that word is still coming to them, that the Lord, he is not just going to cast them away as he could so righteously, but he will give them an opportunity. And so, with those ropes about their necks, oh, that people are looking. They are looking and looking to see if any good would come from the king, that they might hastily catch it. So that is also here. In that word, repent. And when the Lord is working, and when there is that despair in the life of the people, and they hear this word, repent, then there is through this a hope in their heart. By nature, we hate the preaching of repentance. Why? Because we do not want to turn. Because we love our sin. because we uphold ourselves, because we do not want to change. No repentance, turning, that is against our flesh. But now by the work of that Spirit, now there is a sorrow in the heart because of that sin. And now what does repentance become? All repentance that becomes a sweet work unto that people. Did that ever become a sweet work unto you? Repentance. Oh, was your heart ever drawn unto that way of obedience? That you may turn away now from that past life for which your heart is so much grieved. Oh, that you say, Lord, that I might repent. Oh, there is room for it in the life of that people that are laying under the convincing work of the Spirit of the Lord. Then when the Lord says, turn now, turn ye unto me, then they say, oh Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Only tell me, oh, that I am ready. I am ready to do everything that thou wilt require of me. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Just tell us. There is nothing too much. Oh, if we may only come again into that blessed favor and communion with the Lord. Oh, Lord, tell me only. What wilt thou have me to do? Do you ever read the Word of God, young people, in such a way? You go through the pages of that holy book. Your heart is asking the Lord, oh Lord, what now wilt thou have me to do? Oh Lord, maybe your heart says, Lord, I love thee. Oh Lord, I love thee, the fount of life and grace. Oh, tell me, Lord, how I must act, how I must do in this world. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Repentance goes before remission. There is no remission without repentance. That is with man, between man and man. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says that if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. No, he does not say, if he does not repent, forgive him. He says, if he repent. It is not wise. It is not prudent. It is not loving to express forgiveness to an unrepentant person. The only thing we do with that is establish that person in the way of his sin. Oh yes, we may forgive in our heart. And we ought to forgive in our heart, because we are no better than they. But we ought not to express until our brother is brought unto repentance. That is so also with the Lord. God is a God of order. He does not forgive dry sins. No, he brings a man on his knees. He forgives in the way of true and of sincere repentance. Maybe you will say, well, that is a preaching of works, because repentance is a work. And so now you say, man, he has to bring something first to the Lord, and thus it is no longer a preaching of free and sovereign grace. Is that so? What was that sin? What was that sin that Peter accused these Jews of? That was the sin of rejection. The sin of the rejection of their king, of their mediator, of a savior. No, to acknowledge our wretchedness, to acknowledge our misery, to acknowledge our need for a savior is no work of merit. It is just the opposite. It is actually an acknowledgement that we are not able to merit. It is an acknowledgement of how deep our fall is. It is an acknowledgement that we are a son and daughter of Adam. It is an acknowledgement that we are a transgressor of the law, that we have a body of sin and death, and that we can do no otherwise, and that all our righteousnesses, they are of filthy rags. An acknowledgement in sorrow of heart that I cannot make it different in my life. And without such a repentance, there is no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to consider that after we sing from 140 stanzas 3 and 4. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. Thou alone my Savior art. Teach thy wisdom to my heart. Make me pure. Thy grace bestow, wash me whiter than the snow. 3 and 4 of Psalter 140. And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Repentance, that is very sweet. Why? Because it is the first step in the salvation of a sinner. The turning away from sin unto the Lord. And yet, repentance, that is not salvation itself. No, it is the way unto salvation. Thus, if that way unto is already so sweet, then how sweet must be that salvation itself? What does Peter say? He says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. No. Peter does not preach a way of works. The opposite. He preaches the way of pardon. He preaches the way of forgiveness. And that is a great wonder. Especially when we see the sin that he has accused this multitude of. They have crucified the Son of God. We would say if there was ever a sin that would be unpardonable, then it must be such a sin. Oh, how great is the mercy of the Lord that he is ready to pardon a people that has crucified his only begotten Son, who have nailed him to the cross. After all the good, after all the mercy that he has done unto that people, with all the love, with all the instruction, and they have nailed him to the cross. Oh, you say, how is it possible? Fathers, mothers, when a man would come and take our child, murder them, mercilessly, how ready would you be? How ready would you be when that man comes and he has tears in his eyes? And he says, I am so sorry. Oh, it would take something for me. You ever hear that? These persons, when their children are murdered, and then they can speak about it sometimes, yes, but I can forgive him. And then you say, how is that now possible? Father, mother, this is now the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. Oh, how great is that mercy that the Lord is so ready to bestow on a people who have rejected his only begotten Son, who have refused to humble themselves, who have refused to acknowledge their own sin. A people who have upheld themselves like a Pharisaical Saul in all their own self-righteousness. Who have heard of that name of Christ for so many years and would not have this man to reign over them. But now, in that moment, when such a man, by the powerful operation of the Spirit of the Lord, he begins to cry out of his wretchedness, out of his guilt, out of his misery, then the Lord is so ready to receive him, so ready in the name of his only begotten Son himself, repent and be baptized. Not only must that repentance go beforehand, but that baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins that will also certainly follow that repentance. To be baptized, what is that? To be baptized, we have the outward ordinance. That is an ordinance we see with our eyes. But then we need what is signified in this baptism, because we can receive that ordinance and forever miss the blessing. When we use it out of custom, out of superstition alone, then it is only to our condemnation. Baptized, that is to wash. That is to cleanse. That is to make clean by water. Baptism, that is a signification of the work, the powerful work of the Holy Spirit to completely forgive, to completely wash away all sin of a guilty, of a filthy sinner. No, baptism itself does not do that. Never think that. It is a sign. It is a seal of this grace. It is the Holy Spirit that is applying this blessing to the heart, that it may be experienced, that it may be relished, that it may be enjoyed. What a drawing power. Does the preaching of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, what a drawing power that has unto such a multitude as this. Oh, did we ever experience it? When our soul has cried out as this multitude, men and brethren, what shall I do? But we do not know what to do. When we do not know where to go with our guilt, when we cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God, when we do not know how to change ourselves, this body of sin and death, when we do not know what is ever going to become of a case so singular as our own, when repentance, it is so sweet, and yet it is not the solution. Oh, how was it then? When your ear has heard, when it has been opened, and your heart has perceived that preaching of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or what has happened then? What has happened then in that moment in your soul? Was there then not a powerful drawing unto that Son of Man? Did your heart not go out to him in that moment for the first time with holy longings and desires after that mediator, after that Savior that God had sent into the world? Oh, did your heart not perceive something of the power of that blood that was shed on that cross of Calvary to those who had nowhere to go with their sin? Did your soul not feel something of the freedom that there was in those words of Peter when he spoke about the remission, the pardon, the free forgiveness of sin? Oh, were those sins not covered in that moment? that you could say with David, my sin is covered. May you not see with the eye of faith for a moment a privileged look upon the cross of that blessed Savior. May you not be privileged for a moment to have an eye to see a little bit of all of those perfections of the blessed Son of Man and the fruits of all His work for the sake of such as you are. Oh, the Spirit's effectual drawing to Christ. No, we do not see it. We do not see it when our heart has never been pricked, when our heart has never been pierced. Then there is no form, there is no comeliness in Jesus Christ. But what is now the Spirit's work? That is to make a great change in the estimation of the heart concerning the Lord Jesus Christ within our soul. So we begin to see the beauty of the Son of Man. That we begin to say with the bride, He is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. That is what we read here. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Oh, there is a people who know what this is. Also today, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In that same day that their soul cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They have received that baptism, perhaps when they were an infant. But now they receive the matter within their heart. Oh, what a powerful, what an effectual drawing of the soul unto the Lord Jesus Christ, endearing Him to their heart, uniting their heart to Himself by a true living faith in Christ. Oh, He becomes everything for that people through Him alone, whose presence goes before us, will wear the victor's crown no more by foes assaulted. Then it is all of mercy. Then it is all of grace. Oh, then He is the only way, but He is also the sure way because of that promise. We have not time to speak of that anymore today, but of that promise that is coming from Him, a God who cannot lie. Peter says that promise that is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, it is all. It is all taken care of for that people. From that great eternity, there is nothing that needs to be added, and there is nothing that can be taken away from it. O congregation, Solomon, he says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. O, the Lord is more ready than we are. Do you believe that? That the Lord is more ready than we are. Oh, He is so ready with His mercy. But we are not so ready to confess and to forsake our sin. Oh, we are not so ready to repent. And therefore, we are not ready to be baptized. And that is now why we need this work of His Spirit. Oh, will you pray for that, boys and girls? Will you ask for that? That the Lord may powerfully convince us of our sin, that the Lord may mercifully instruct us in righteousness, and that the Lord may effectually draw us unto his dear and only begotten Son. Oh, may there be a people who cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? May there be a people who may be brought in that way of true repentance, and that also may be baptized with his Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou do it for us? It is for those whom thou wilt give it. O give us to cry to thee, that we may be included. O it is thy own work, Lord. It is not what a man can do by preaching. It is not what a man can do by reading or by listening. These are all thy means. These are all in thy hands. This is the way that thou wilt do it. But now that Spirit, oh, come then. Do it for thy name's sake. Forgive all our sins and prick thou our hearts. Give us true repentance and baptize us in the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 398, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. 1 and 2 of Psalter 398.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.